old saying is there are two things you don't talk about, politics and religion. Both can bring out a heated discussion, but combine the two and you have a volatile mix of passion and emotion. When this happens, the truth is not often well served. You're listening to Longitude. It's Wednesday, December 12, 2007. I'm Darris McNeely. Last week, Mitt Romney gave an impassioned speech on religion and politics, and his faith in particular. Romney is a Mormon, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's also been a governor of Massachusetts and now seeks the Republican nomination for President of the United States. His speech was an effort to frame his unique religious belief within the swirl of American religious and political experience. Mormonism is considered a cult by many in the evangelical community. Mike Huckabee, Romney's current challenger in the crucial early presidential primaries, is an ordained Baptist minister from Arkansas. Huckabee has played the religion card in this race, and it promises to get very interesting. Reports say that Huckabee asks in an upcoming article, "Don't Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers?" Now, this article is to be published in this Sunday's New York Times Magazine. Earlier this month, Huckabee would not say whether he thought Mormonism was a cult. Quote, "I'm just not going to get off into evaluating other people's doctrines and faiths. I think that is absolutely not a role for a president," the former Arkansas governor said. Huckabee is not directly engaged on this issue, but he's left it open for others to either explain or interpret. The Huckabee factor has changed the Republican primary, at least for now. Instead of talking about the weightier issues of foreign policy, national security, and the economy, the present focuses on religion. Whether Huckabee can endure the grind of a long political campaign now is another matter. Money and staff, two key elements of a political campaign, are in short supply. I suspect that in time, Huckabee might fade. But the focus on religion is instructive. History shows that when the two combine, you inevitably have a volatile mixture. Part of America's success is that it has managed to balance religion and politics in a careful dance for more than 200 years. Religion is not a tool of the state, and the state allows religion of all varieties to flourish. And everyone in America has the right to believe or not to believe according to their conscience. The wars that plagued Europe for centuries were often based on religion. For centuries, the Holy Roman Empire managed an uneasy relationship between the emperor and the pope. Centuries of conflict on the continent led America's founding fathers to create a government free of religious control, while at the same time guaranteeing religious freedom. Jesus Christ warned his followers that after his death, many would come with their own version of what he was and what he taught. Church history shows this occurred very quickly. It may come as a complete shock to you to know that most of the 2,000 years of recorded church history is the story of a counterfeit Christianity that asserted its deceptions on a world spiritually imprisoned by a very powerful spiritual being. You can read about this in Revelation 12 and verse 9, where it says Satan has deceived the entire world. Satan the deceiver waits to spring on the world a master deception that will build on all the deceptions he has engineered throughout human history. Revelation chapter 13 describes a great false religious leader to come in the future who will perform great miracles to deceive postmodern scientific world into actually believing a false religious faith. His teaching and actions will turn the world for a brief period toward giving allegiance to a masterful political leader who will promise humanity a terrestrial kingdom of peace. They will believe the lie and accept his mark of identity on every dimension of life. This is the scene symbolized by the ride of the first horseman of Revelation chapter 6, a rider who wears a crown and sits on a white horse, wielding a bow and going among the nations to conquer and rule. This first seal will unleash a wave of religious fervor that will transform the world in the period Jesus Christ called the end of the age. The religious wars of the 21st century will involve a mixture of violence, evangelism, and pacifism. Terrorism plays and will play a significant role as fanatical religious elements continue to seek to overthrow nations and gather power into their hands. Today we see tribalism and nationalism that ignite periodic strife in developing nations like Nigeria and India, and religion is going to continue to be at the center of the conflict. States such as Iran will use their power to advance or to retard religious elements, provoking strong reactions in the process. Religious parties will use even the ballot box to push their agenda or to gain control of a country. This will be a potent and heady mix as we move forward in the 21st century. Violence will be mixed with peaceful efforts in the steady march forward toward a religious unity that is pictured in Bible prophecy. Today's focus on religion in the American presidential race is just one more skirmish in the ongoing wars of religion around the globe. It is very interesting to watch how it plays out. But don't look for it to have much influence in the long term, at least in the American presidential election. This year's presidential contest will be run on far different themes, but religion, it seems, will always be in the background. And for now, that's okay. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.